Discovering Fear and Love. Written by Benjamin Russell. Read by Mistborn Hero. A Deadbolt Detectives and Raven Cycle crossover. Rated for general audiences. Featuring the relationship Henry Chench, Richard Gangsy III, Blue Sergeant, and the characters Charles Rowland and Edwin Payne. It is tagged for ghosts, magical artifacts, friendship, first meetings. Summary. On the road trip, Gangsy, Blue, and Henry end up in England, and while looking for a ley line, they find a pair of ghostly detectives instead. Gangsy peered out the window of the rental car, a modern electric thing that he silently felt had no character, but Blue and Henry were pleased with. As the manor house that was their destination came into view, the trip had started off as a more traditional sightseeing adventure, but once they got to his old stomping grounds, even if he had spent more time in Wales than England back in the day, it felt only right that they also did some ley line investigations. Gangsy had been to visit Mallory while the other two wandered around the local area, and he had come away with some scones that were not very much like the scones they had in America, but he had developed a liking for, and a list of confirmed or potential ley-ley locations within a couple hours' drive. The first few places they visited had been a bit of a disappointment, but this one was going to be different. Gangsy didn't know how or why, but he felt it in his bones. He had been prepared to try and talk their way in, but luckily, it turned out that both the house and the grounds were open to the public, so once they had parked up, they dutifully paid for 3 tickets and went inside. The branch of the ley line passed right through, or more accurately, under the house, so they began their search inside the manor. There were guided tours at set intervals, but they decided to wander around by themselves, as they were less likely to get strange looks when they brought out dowsing rods and the like. Henry took photos as they measured through the buildings, and he and Blue swapped commentary on the 18th century design and decor, while Gangsy followed along behind them, reading all the various placards and signs with interest. When they reached one of the central rooms, and after the other visitors had moved on, Gangsy reached into his messenger bag and pulled out one of the various devices used to track mystical energy. He handed it to Henry before producing the dowsing rods too. "Jane, would you do the honors?" he asked, holding his hands out to her with a smile. "One of these days, I'm going to say no to spite you," Blue replied, rolling her eyes, but she took his hand anyway. Her ability to power up others' talents was very useful when it came to things like this, but he did make sure he tried his best to assure her that he loved and appreciated her regardless of her ability. He still put his foot in it sometimes, but he was doing better at not making comments that made her want to hate him. As Henry paced the room and watched the gadget's readouts, Gangsy slowly panned the dowsing rods around, alert for any sign of her reaction. But disappointingly, there wasn't even a twitch. He was used to it, though. Used to doggedly persevering. So after a glance at Henry, "Nope, nothing," he suggested they move on. They repeated the surveying in several rooms, but they found nothing other than an unexpected cold spot that was probably due to the idiosyncrasies of the old house. He was undeterred, though, and Blue and Henry were enjoying wandering around the old, picturesque building, so they then headed into the grounds. According to the map they had received on entry, there was an old, ruined chapel that looked to also be on the ley line. And so, they decided to head there.
"Oh, stop there," Henry said, as they were walking away from the manor house, through the tended garden. Well used to this by now, Gangsy and Blue obliged their boyfriend, automatically moving closer together to pose. Henry snapped a few photos of them with the house in the background before wrapping one arm around Gangsy's waist and entwining his fingers with Blue's, Gangsy guessed, and flipping the camera to take a selfie of the three of them.
"I'm glad both of you agreed to come on this road trip with me," Henry told them, not for the first time, as he lowered his phone. "Three makes it much more fun than one." Blue moved in and pressed a kiss to Henry's cheek, going up slightly on her tiptoes to do so. Gangsy followed her lead and kissed Henry's other cheek, hooking his fingers into Henry's belt loop briefly.
"Thank you for inviting us," Gangsy smiled, warmth filling him at the reminder that he got to have this now. Both of these two amazing people. They continued on through the grounds, checking the readings every so often, and eventually they reached the chapel. It was far enough away from the manor house and overgrown enough that it clearly didn't get much foot traffic, so Gangsy was surprised to see two teenage boys when he stepped inside. One was dressed in what looked like Edwardian attire. Perhaps he was one of those people who enjoyed dressing in clothes from an earlier age. While the other's clothes were newer, still old, but retro rather than historical looking, and he had a rucksack slung over one shoulder.
"Hello," Gangsy greeted them, easily hiding his surprise. The boys glanced at each other, looking like they weren't expecting to have company.
"Tell me, what do you know about ley lines?" Gangsy continued, just as Henry followed him into the chapel and asked.
"Who are you talking to?"
Gangsy looked between Henry and the boys, wondering if Henry was trying to be funny, but he looked genuinely confused. His eyes didn't settle on the boys at all as he searched the room for anyone else.
"They are ghosts," Blue said softly as she stepped inside, before turning her attention to the boys. "Aren't you?"
"Yeah, we're the Deadweight Detectives," the one with the bag said with a grin. "I'm Charles, and this is Edwin."
"Nice to meet you," Gangsy offered Charles his hand. "I'm Gangsy." Charles's hand was cold, but it felt solid in Gangsy's own.
"My name's Blue."
"And I'm Henry."
Henry waved, looking at a space a couple of feet to the left of the ghosts. It had to be weird for him, only to be able to hear half the conversation, but Blue leaned over and started filling him in on what he was missing.
"Are you psychic or something?"
Charles then asked Blue, as Edwin engaged Gangsy in conversation.
"If you don't mind me asking, it's just most people can't see ghosts, like your friend here."
Blue pulled a face, but then shook her head, making it clear she wasn't upset by the question.
"I come from a family of psychics, and my dad was a tree."
Charles opened his mouth, but Blue quickly cut him off.
"It's a long story. I'm not psychic myself,
but I make other people's abilities stronger if I'm nearby. I guess that's why I can see you.
Sounds Isis. What about Gangsy?
He died and came back to life, she explained simply. If the story of Artemis was a long one, everything with Glendower was even longer.
That's also a long story.
The corner of her mouth quirked up in amusement.
Meanwhile, you mentioned ley lines, Edwin said to Gangsy once the introductions were over, clearly more interested in the topic than he was in social niceties. I've researched them before, but our cases don't tend to involve ghosts who follow the ghost roads. Rather, ones who have unfinished business they want help solving.
Yes, we are here to investigate one. It runs under the manor and under this chapel. We didn't get any significant readings in the house, but I'm hoping here it will be stronger.
Gangsy paused, briefly wondering if he was about to commit some sort of ghostly faux pas.
How many types of ghosts are there? Do you know? We had a friend who turned out to be a ghost, but he seemed to follow different rules and was tied to a ley line.
Typically, each culture has their own types of ghosts, with different rules, Edwin explained. Thai ghosts, for example, sleep during the day and appear at night. I don't believe anyone has ever tried to count the many different types, however.
Interesting.
Gangsy then pulled out the dowsing rods again and held them out. This time it was different. The rods almost jumped in his hand and spun to point at the remains of the altar. He wasn't even touching blue this time.
There's something here, he exclaimed, drawing everyone's attention to him. You reckon? Charles asked Edwin as Gangsy started towards the altar. The rest of Charles's question was wordless, but Edwin clearly understood him anyway.
A coincidence seems unlikely, Edwin replied. He followed Gangsy, who realized he didn't actually know why the detectives were there. He assumed they were here for a case, but they hadn't offered any details. He followed, tugging on the rods, which led him to the base of the altar. After moving aside some of the fallen stonework with the others' help, Gangsy found a section of the wooden floorboards that looked like it could be lifted up. It would have been hidden under the altar when it was less decrepit, and while it wasn't big enough for a person to fit through, it could easily be the hiding place of something smaller.
Here, Charles offered him a knife, hilt first, before Gangsy could even think about how to pry open the door. Thanks. Gangsy used the knife to leverage up the floorboard, and then set it down carefully before reaching into the hole it revealed. His hands closed around something wooden, and just as he touched it, the sunlight hit at just the right angle to illuminate it. No, wait. The box itself was producing the light. He lifted it out of the hole so he could inspect it, so they could all inspect it, as the others were crowded around, watching intently. The client didn't say anything about it glowing, Charles commented. Out of the corner of his eye, Gangsy spotted Edwin, giving Charles a disapproving look, but most of Gangsy's attention was firm on the box in his hands. He handled it reverently and carefully flipped the latch up before opening the lid. Inside it was empty, but for a small scroll tied with a faded ribbon.
I feel like I should be wearing gloves, he murmured before setting the box down gently on the floor and lifting out the scroll. The box stopped glowing as soon as he stopped touching it. With even more care than he had handled the box with, he undid the ribbon and unrolled the paper to reveal a short paragraph of handwritten text. He read it out loud, so everyone could know what it said. Awe in his voice as he spoke. It detailed the history of the box, and how it had been crafted for a Viking jarl who had settled in Britain before being passed down through the generations, hidden and lost and found until the present day where it was hidden once more to keep it out of the wrong hands. "I'm going to talk to the client," Edwin announced after several moments of silence, as they all processed what they had found. Charles reached into his rucksack and unexpectedly pulled out an old-fashioned hand mirror, and then, even more unexpectedly, Edwin reached out to touch it and vanished.
"Mirror travel," Charles explained with a grin. "One of the perks of being a ghost."
"How?" Gangsy started to ask about how it worked, but then mentally shook himself and asked the more pressing question. "I take it this artifact is what you and Edwin were looking for?"
"I gotta get Ronan to dream me something that lets me see ghosts," Henry muttered to Blue, clearly wishing he wasn't being excluded from half of what was going on.
"Yeah, the woman who hid it hired us to make sure her son doesn't get his hands on it, because he wants to sell it instead of looking after it or donating it to a museum or something," Charles replied.
"Wait," Henry exclaimed, as something occurred to him, looking at the same direction that Gangsy was, but at a point slightly to the left of where Charles was perched on some revel. "If most people can't see you, does that mean your clients are also ghosts?"
"Yep," Charles nodded, and Gangsy relayed his answer to Henry.
"That's cool."
They chattered for a while, Henry and Charles bonding via the other two, over their shared enthusiasm, while Blue and Charles discovered they both enjoyed certain eclectic genres of music. Gangsy meanwhile returned the scroll to the box and studied the engravings, even more awed by the fact that now he knew its history. Then, the surface of the mirror rippled, and Edwin reappeared from it, followed by an old woman who presumably was the detective's client.
"I presume this is yours?" Gangsy asked her, offering her the box. Once again, as soon as he touched it, it started glowing softly.
"No, no. You keep it, dearie," she replied with a warm smile. "I'll be moving on soon, and the glowing tells me that you're the right person. It knows you look after it with the care and respect it deserves."
"Is it magical?" Charles asked curiously. "Does it do anything else?"
"Only the glowing, but sometimes I think it is sleeping."
Gangsy caught Blue's eyes, assuming that they were thinking the same thing. Was it possible this box was a dreamed object?
"Perhaps once upon a time it did something else, but either way, it is still a piece of history."
The woman then turned to Edwin.
"Now I'd like to return home before death comes for me."
"I'll escort you," Edwin said, before she could ask.
"Ed?" Charles's hand darted out and grabbed Edwin's arm. The two had a wordless conversation, and then Edwin's expression softened slightly. Gangsy felt like they were suddenly intruding, but before he could say anything, Charles let go of Edwin's arm, and Edwin ushered the woman through the mirror.
"I'll be back shortly," he promised while looking at Charles directly in the eyes, before following the woman. When Charles turned back to Blue, Gangsy, and Henry, though, he was grinning like nothing had happened.
"That was brills. We solved our case, and you gained a magic voice in one go."
Rather efficient, yes, Gangsy replied with a smile as he stowed the box away in his bag.
What's happening? Henry asked.
Edwin returned with their client. She said Gangsy could have the box because the glowing means he's special. Blue rolled her eyes at that, but even Charles could probably tell it was with fondness. And now he, Edwin, that is taking her home so she can pass on.
Right. What now then?
Lunch? Gangsy suggested before glancing at Charles.
You're welcome to join us. Do ghosts eat?
Charles shook his head sadly.
No, we can't taste. I'd kill to be able to have a good curry again.
Then he perked up again.
But I'd love to come and hang out. Edwin will be back soon, and I'm sure he would like to talk to you more about ley lines and all that stuff.
He slung his rucksack over his shoulder and kept the mirror in his hand, presumably so Edwin could return through it. Gangsy was curious about the logistics of how mirror travel worked, but he figured it was a conversation Edwin would enjoy more than Charles. They headed back to their car and piled in, Charles joining Blue in the back, while Gangsy pulled out a map and started directing Henry to a nearby pub. They got a booth, so it wouldn't be obvious they were leaving space for the two ghosts, and soon after they had ordered, Edwin rejoined them. Charles was clearly relieved when his partner reappeared from the mirror. Even to Gangsy, who had just met the two of them. He imagined it would be similar to how he would feel if he knew Blue or Henry were walking into danger alone, regardless of whether Charles and Edwin were romantically involved or not. They obviously knew each other very well, both from their body language towards each other, and things like Charles being right about Edwin being interested in talking more about the ley lines. In fact, after Gangsy, with the occasional contributions from Blue, had recounted the tale of searching for Glendower, Edwin had a lot to say on the topic. And he and Gangsy spent a good portion of the meal having an in-depth discussion about it. Blue, Henry, and Charles were less interested, but they found their own topics to bond over. Blue relaying everything Charles said to keep Henry involved in the conversation. It wasn't at all what Gangsy had expected from their visit. He had thought they might find some interesting readings, at most, but he thought it was probably the highlight of the trip so far. The detectives fit right in with the three of them, and he had learned a lot more about the mystical workings of the world. He had known a trip with his girlfriend and boyfriend would be superb, but he hadn't expected to make new friends too. The end. Thank you for listening. This has been recorded for the Podawin prompt, Chill, because ghosts are cold and cold spots and stuff. And also for the Podfic Bingo Square, polyamory, I think? Something poly relationships, because I love Blue and Gangsy and Henry, and love fixed with them together. I also like when they have Adam too, but that's like less frequent. And also this one had Uberto ghosts, so I'm like, this is so cool. So I hope you've enjoyed listening as much as I enjoyed reading it and then recording it. And please remember to drink some water today.